You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon, 5 p.m. service. Today is our campus Sunday. So again, if you are a student, make some noise. Mga students, woo! If you were once a student, make some noise pa rin. Yun, para walang ma-OP ka ron. Whether you're a student or not a student, please don't zone out. This is still for you. As we talk about reaching the next generation, we're starting a brand new series called No Filter. And the goal basically of this series, this two-week series, is basically to remind us that identity and purpose, ang best source aninia is basically God. We're going to talk about these two things. Now, as we talk about the next generation, I want to remind everyone first that we have a role to play. We all have a role in reaching the next generation. Whether you are a student, you're a parent, or you have a sibling, or you know someone who is a student, you have a role to play in reaching the next generation. In the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about these two important topics, identity and purpose. And these are two important things because basically these things greatly affect especially the next generation, especially the young people. And we're going to talk about these two things. And for this week, we're going to zero in and focus on identity. Let's talk about identity for a while. If you are going to Google or search through a dictionary what identity is, it talks about who a person is or the qualities of a person or group that make them different from others. It's what makes a person who he is. And identity is important because knowing our identity affects the way we live our life. Whatever identity you embrace, it will have consequences in your lifestyle or it will have an effect in your lifestyle. For example, many of us are familiar with the age-old classic story of the ugly duckling. Am I right? Young duckling, thought he was a duckling, thought he was ugly, grew up thinking ugly siya until one day he realized na dili pala siya duck. So basically, for the longest time, that duckling was living with a wrong identity, wrong sense of identity. If we embrace our wrong identity or we're unsure of our identities, that secures identity nato, it will have consequences. It will have bad effects. Being unsure of our identities, in fact, can lead to insecurities. Kaya hindi secure kung kinsa ba yun ta. That's why we need to learn or understand about, or we need to know what our identity is or what's about identity yun nato. Now, if you ask someone about their identities, they would basically have some of these common sources for identity. If you ask someone unsa gi base niya sa identity niya, most likely it's one of these things gina base niya ang identity niya. For example, skills. Diba kasi dito pat niyo skillful, talented. You're singing, dancing, may ka mo hurot og exercise or something. I don't know. That's your special ability. Or kaya niyo matulog anywhere. 5 seconds, tulog na ka. That's a special ability right there. Skills. Perhaps for some of you, that's your identity. You're the artist, you're the singer, you're the dancer of the group or something. Or for some of you, you base your identity sa looks ninyo, beauty. When you were a student, ikaw tong campus crush. You're the kind of person na when you walk in the room, everyone looks at you. Parang, uy, nabot na siya. Maybe you know someone like that. Or titles, nasa ngalan nimo, sir, or engineer, or doctor, or again, basta ginight ka sa Queen of England, lady or sir, nakabutang sa ngalan nimo. Titles or intellect. Ikaw tong quiz beat champion tong kinder pa ka, so handod ka ron. You still think you're the smart person in the room. You're the math wizard, you're the valedictorian, you're the summa cum laude. Kasi dahil tupad ninyo, may potential mas summa cum laude ang tupad ninyo. Next one, wealth or resources. Diba? You're the person nga before ma-release pang newest gadgets, nabay na ni mo. Nana ni mo tanan. Whatever resource, you're that kind of person. Or social media. You value your identity on your social media. Every time you post something, maski period lang, daghang kang likes, 100. Period lang, semicolon lang. Kung mag-post ka picture, plain white, uy, bro, charge ka yung picture nimo sa Instagram. Kung mag-story ka, dahil kang mag-view, that's your identity maybe. Maybe you're basing on those things. Or achievements, di ba? When people visit your house, nauska wall dito, puro plaka nimo, puro medals, puro mga certificates, amuni akong award, tong kinder, most punctual, kanisya, katong sa grade school ako and all. But maybe that's you. Tanang pwede ma-achieve, ga-achieve na nimo. Or maybe family or relationships, di ba? If you come from a lineage of doctors, so you feeling mo, doctor po ka. Or if lawyers, lawyer ka. Now, it's not limited to these, but these are just some of the common sources of identities people base on. But let me just be the bearer of bad news for a while here today. Let me just burst our bubbles for a while. Sad to say, unfortunately, these common sources, all of these sources will fail. They will not be sufficient to give us an identity that is not fragile, that will not be shaken. I'm not saying bad to have things. It's good to have achievements, to have friends, to have families, to be skillful. It's good to have those things. But if we base solely our identity on any of those things, we will not have an identity that cannot be shaken. We will still struggle with insecurities. We will still be living with a temporal kind of identity. To illustrate this, there's this iconic line in the first Avengers movie. Ingon si Captain America to Tony Stark, "Big man is in a suit of armor. Take that away and what are you?" Now, if I were to change that first part of that statement, let's say you're the skillful kind of person. Singing skills, dancing skills, artistic skills, take that away. What are you? If I take away all of those basic sources of identity ninyo, your achievements, your medals, your certificates, if I take that away, what are you? Your wealth and resource, what if di nakamadato? Take that away, what are you? Or who are you? Your family, your lineage, what if you don't come from an affluent family, from a well-known family? What are you then? Take those things away and what are you? You see, all of those things, all of those common resources and other resources, identity nato, they cannot give us a good identity. Relying on these sources will only give us a fragile identity, something that's easily shaken. So I'm here today to remind us, to basically tell us that there's a better source of identity, way better. And of course, as I started this a while ago, it's God. So the question that we're going to answer to this afternoon is, why should God be the source of our identity? Nga naman, if all those other sources, achievements, skills, talents, lineage nato, if I cannot base my whole life, my identity, who I am, on those things, nga naman, if mato ko ang God, okay siya nga source of identity. Nga naman, to answer that question, that is why we're going to look into Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. It says here, in verse 4, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." So let me just get straight to the verses that we're about to unpack today. Again, we're reading in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because he wept a lot. But he was called to prophesy in a very difficult time in the history of Israel. Now I'm going to get straight to verses 4 and 5. And basically, I will unpack some key statements mentioned especially in verse 5. In verse 5, it says here that, "After the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah," the word of the Lord, God told Jeremiah, "before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nations." In this verse, there are four I statements. I mean, today, we're going to look at just three of them. Three important statements given to God. And the first is, "before I formed you." God told Jeremiah, "I formed you." This leads me to the first point I want us to understand when we talk about God being the source of our identity. And that is, God created us. He told Jeremiah, "I formed you." And this means God created us. This is important because basically, because God created us, He has the right to define us. When you make something, let's say in the future, mag-invent mo something, a new gadget, mulabaw pas iPhone or something like that, or you invent a miracle cure for some disease. Whatever you invent, you have the right to entitle it, to name it. You have the right to tell people this is what it's called because you made it. You invented it or you discovered it. Now, the same thing with God. The word "form" there means to mold into a form, because from the Hebrew word yatsar. It tells us that God made us. He formed us. This word here, it's the same word that describes a potter making a clay pot. If you try to make this, it's not easy. It takes care, effort, and focus to do something like that. Dili pwede mindless ka nga, mag-arakas kamot ni mo, dinanay pot niya, magically magama. It takes great care to do so. And this is how God formed us, created us. In fact, that very same word was used to describe the creation of man when God created us way back in the Garden of Eden nga days. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says there, "The Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living creature." Out of all of God's creation, ang planets, ang stars, ang animals, ang world, and everything, the only creation that God formed this way, that He breathed the breath of life, is man. All other creation, God simply said, "Let there be light, let there be beasts in the field, let there be birds in the air, let this be so and so," and it appeared. And God could have just said, "Let there be human beings," and then na human beings mugawas, magambak sila. It could have been as easy as that. But God took extra effort and care to form man, to create man. He formed him from the dust of the ground, like a potter making that clay pot once again. And He breathed life into him. Okay, meaning specially made ta mga human beings out of all of God's creation. Let me illustrate it this way. I have two pictures of knives here. One is like the usual common kitchen knife that many of us have in our kitchens. Another knives, ancient knives ng tawon, were made by a craftsman in the US. Dili siya ancient knife. But here's the thing. These knives are one of the most expensive knives in the world. Do you know how much they cost, kaning knives? If ang common kitchen knife, kay let's say mga max like 300 pesos or something, I don't know. These knives, kaning pikas, they cost $2.1 million. Those knives alone. Why? Because it has 153 emeralds, it has 10 carats of gold, 9 diamonds as well, and napay jade nga handle siya. And here's the thing, it took 10 full years for the craftsman to finish it. 10 full years, and it has all that value placed into those knives. That's why it's worth $2.1 million. And I'm sharing this because anything that is made by a master craftsman is valuable. But guess what, church? We were made by the greatest craftsman there was. And we were made by God. If anything made, mga custom made, bespoke, handcrafted items like watches or katong knives, if they are valuable, expensive, worth a lot siya because they're made with master craftsmen, how much more us, mga people, human beings, that was formed with care by God. Formed from the dust of the earth and breathed life, the breath of life into them. Muna ang human beings. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship or masterpiece. Masterpiece. Imagine this. The Bible says that we are God's masterpiece. Out of all of His creation, He made billions of stars, planets, many galaxies. He made so many animals and plants, so much amazing landscapes or features in the earth, so much amazing things out there, and yet none of them are His masterpiece. What is His masterpiece? It's us. We are His masterpiece. Ang seatmate nimo, ang astubangan nimo, those people around you, they are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. And this speaks a lot to us. For some of us here today, perhaps certain words were labeled to you when you were growing up. Maybe you have accepted certain words as well. Maybe you compared yourself with others, thinking you're not of worth, you're not of value, you're not as good-looking as someone, you're not as special as someone, you're not as talented as someone, you feel nimo inanirang a person. Perhaps people have told you, you're not valuable, you're not loved, you're not important. Guess what? The Bible says we are God's workmanship, made with extra effort and care. The best gigamat ni God compared to all other forms of creation. So regardless of what others may label you, this is what the Bible says about us. We are God's workmanship. Psalms 139, verse 14 even says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. The word fearfully there actually doesn't mean scary. The word fearfully there means to be in awe. So tupad ninyo, awe-inspiring bang tupad ninyo? Maka-jaw drop ba? Ano mga inaana bang level? That's what it means to be fearfully and wonderfully made. Can you imagine that? The Bible describes us as such. So listen to what the Bible has to say, church. As we continue, it says here, the second statement yuning God, kang Jeremiah, was, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Let me ask a question for all of us. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and they told you, bro, gabi kay, before ka gipanganak sa imo mama, before pa nabuntis imo mama, kailan na kay ko nimo? Have you ever had a conversation like that? Like kabulod yung ko, before you were born or before you would be born, muna yung itsura, muna yung batasan, muna yung likes, dislikes. I know you so well, bro. Before you were born pa lang. Diba? That would be a pretty weird conversation and perhaps that never happens to us. Why? Because no one can know us that much except one being, and that is God. The second reason why God should be our source of identity is that God knows us better than anyone. Better even than ourselves. Better than the closest people to us. He knows us through and through. The word know or knew, gagigamit ito nga verse, comes from the Hebrew word yada, which means to perceive, distinguish, to know thoroughly with much intimacy. In some verses in the Bible, that word is used to describe the intimacy of a husband and a wife. That kind of knowledge. God says that He knew Jeremiah. He knows Jeremiah through and through before even Jeremiah was born and knew anything about himself. And this is a very important thing because, di ba, we love to know stuff about us, di ba? We love to know stuff about our personalities, our strengths, our weaknesses, di ba? We delight in these things when we do these things, when we think about our personality type, our strengths, which Marvel character are you? You want to know stuff about you. You delight in it, di ba? Ang pinaka-latest nga kana mag-post sa Facebook is something like this, kana mga which three jobs suits you? Kabantay mo nga nanang. My point in sharing all of these things that we love to know things about us. And guess what? We have a source that we can run to and seek and know more things about us. And that is kang God. Now, I mentioned a while ago that some of the common sources of identities are those talents, skills, my other external sources. But nowadays, there's also another common source of identity that young people especially are embracing. And that is self-made identities. Rather than embracing the external identities because they're fragile, they're temporary, they're unreliable, some people, instead of looking externally, they look internally naman. And perhaps for some of you, you heard of some of these words because these people, they're advised to look within, to listen to your heart, to find yourself, to follow, to trust your heart or something, or ang walang kamatayang all-time classic lines sa mga movies, follow your heart. Perhaps you've heard of this word. So people are like, if I can't find my identity somewhere, if I can't find it somewhere in the world, I'm gonna take so much time to look within, to search my deepest parts of my heart and my being, all that. And from there, I will find my identity. And this is what we call expressive individualism. And what is this expressive individualism? Adam Mabry, one of our pastors in Every Nation Ministries in America, says it this way. Expressive individualism holds that each person has a core of feeling and intuition that should unfold or be expressed if individuality is to be realized. Meaning, he's saying na in each person, there is now this core mix of emotions and thoughts that has to be taken out and expressed for the individuality, for the individual to be known or to be realized. But here's the thing. He goes on to say that it is driven by a deep sense of entitlement to being left alone. To live in a way that is free from the demands and expectations of others. To being able to develop its own values to resist all authority. And in other words, this is how the process goes. People look at themselves, look at your heart, follow your heart, look within you. You do all of that and you think na inani ko nga person siguro and therefore inani ko. And you guys can't tell me how I should live my life. To summarize it, I think, therefore, I am, so deal with it. And you can tell me how to live my life. This is my truth. This is my life. This is my individuality. This is how I define myself. That's what this whole process is all about. Or this whole source of identity is. And here's the thing about that. The Bible actually warns us about looking within and basing our identities from within. What do you mean by that? Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" The Bible says the heart is wicked. It's desperately sick. It's deceitful. Makauwat siya. Let me show you a real life example how deceitful looking within can be. I have this story of a British man, a 37-year-old British man, and he says na he came to realize that he identifies himself as a puppy, as a human puppy. He says that he never felt like a human being all his life, so he identifies himself as a human puppy. He would bite, he would bark, he would lick people around him. He dresses himself up with that foreigner suit. Kasi puppy lagi siya. And when he was 18, he moved out of his house and now he even has a human owner. Yes, I'm not making this up. This is real life news. And when we look at it, parang it seems so crazy. It seems so insane. And yet, this is exactly what happens when someone looks within themselves and says, "This is who I am." When someone just self-defines their identity, this is one possible outcome. If you think that's crazy, in fact, it is crazy. Another story is that there's this man, he left his family because he identified himself as a six-year-old girl. Middle-aged man na siya, thinks of himself as a six-year-old girl, so he left his family. Now, is living with adopted parents. That seems all crazy. There are even stories of people who have complete limbs. But they identified themselves as amputees. So some of them attempted to cut their own limbs or want to cut their own limbs because they feel like amputee sila. It seems all of these things are crazy and all. But this tells us that feelings, it doesn't correlate to facts. It doesn't equate to facts. Na kung unsay feeling nimo, unsay emotion nimo, at tinuod dyan siya. Now, I'm not saying that feelings are wrong. There's a time and place to apply our feelings. But here's the thing, feelings and emotions are not reliable guides on how to live our lives. If we want to know who we are, the heart is not the best guide to do so.
Is that something that is wise that you can follow? Kasi, di ba, we talk about feelings and emotions. Nakatry na mo nga, you ate something so delicious and you say, man, muna ni pinakalaming food na kaon na ako, muna ni pinakalami na. And then a week later, namoy lang na kaon, ay, muna ni tinood din ang pinakalaming na kaon na ako. Di ba, feelings change, emotions change. Dili siya unchangeable. It's so fragile ang emotions. So we cannot base our identities on it. That's why if we want to know about ourselves, we go to someone who knows us thoroughly. Before we were born, in and out, our deepest secrets, our mistakes, those things we're ashamed of, our sins, our struggles, our successes, anything about us, God knows us through and through. We want to know who we are, we go to God. The third statement mentioned is, I consecrated you before I formed you in the womb. I knew you. And before you were born, before panigawa si Jeremiah, before he came to this world, says there, God told him, I consecrated you. And this leads me to my third point, that God has a purpose for us. I know, second installment pang purpose nato. I'm not gonna talk so much about purpose. But to talk about identity, medyo close kayo si identity and purpose, parang BFF sila. If you wanna know about identity, we can't help but talk a little bit about purpose. Now, the word consecrate here comes from the Hebrew word kadash, which means to devote or set apart for God's purposes or noble use. Mean to say, before Jeremiah was born to become a prophet, giset apart na siya ni God. Parang Jeremiah, this is what my plans for you are. Before you're born palang, I already set you apart. I already selected you. I already chose you to be a prophet to the nations. We talk about set apart. It's like anong magi kag buffet, di ba? Kung buffet, you take food, you put in your plate, and you set it apart for your own purpose, which I assume kay kanon imo ang food. It's the same thing with God. We were set apart for God's purposes. If you're a believer, you're a Christian, you were set apart for God's purposes. Meaning, God has something in store that He wants you to accomplish and achieve. We're gonna talk about more of that sa purpose. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 reminds us by saying, for we are His workmanship and we are created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has great plans and purposes for us. And if we want to know, once again, unsa atong identity nato, we need to know from someone who knows exactly why we were born. Why were we born? Why did we come to this world? We need to know it from someone who knows that answer. And that is God. He knows that answer. He has a purpose for us. He has set us apart for a specific reason. Now, a couple of things before I end, I've given us three reasons, basically, why we should subscribe to an identity that comes from God. Firstly, He created us. He has a right to define us. Secondly, He knows us thoroughly. So meaning, pwede siya makiyon kin sa tabi because He really knows who we are. And thirdly, He knows our purpose. He knows our reason for existing. Now, if we want to know what is our identity, if all those reasons tells us na, all right, I want to embrace an identity that comes from God, but how do I get that identity from God? In Jeremiah's case, it says here, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you, and all of these things. Meaning, Jeremiah heard God told him that He formed him, He consecrated him, He appointed him, He knew him. It was through the word of the Lord. In other words, your real identity is derived from the word of the Lord. How God defines us, that is our identity. How God looks at us, how God views us, who we are in the eyes of God, that is our identity. So regardless of what your background is right now, what your status is right now, what your looks, your talents, your skills, what your mistakes were in the past, whatever labels people have thrown or words people have thrown at you, if you're a believer, you've been redeemed in Christ. Your identity is based on how God looks at you, how God thinks of you, how He defines who we are. How does God look at us? John chapter 1 verse 12 says here, but to all who did receive Him, who received Christ, who believe in His name, to all who received the gospel, to all who were redeemed, He gave the right to become children of God. When you take everything else away, your titles, your achievements, your successes, when everything else is taken away, the one thing that can be taken away from you is the fact that we are children of God. To all those who are redeemed, to all those who received Christ, they were given, He gave them the right to become children of God. this is an unshakable kind of identity because basically, no amount of external sources will rob you of this identity. Whatever changes will happen in the seasons, such changes in the financial aspects, the lives nato, one thing remains, we are children of God. Tim Keller says, Christianity gives you an identity that is not as fragile, that can handle disappointments, that can handle failures, that can handle suffering in a way that modern secular identity cannot. An identity in Christ is something that can handle hardships, disappointments, failures, suffering. It cannot be shaken in a way that all other sources of identity cannot. That is why, church, we need to subscribe to get our identities from the one source, and that is from God. Let me pray for us.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.